tickets up, please. Please, Donald. There we go. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for praying for me for the last 12 months. So I'm just going to give you a quick summary of some of the things that I've seen and visited over the last 12 months so you can have a bit of a flavour of what I've been up to. For my sins, I'm on Facebook, and if you're on Facebook, you'll see that I put a diary on there when I'm out in these countries. The only problem is, some of the pictures that I put on there, my family think I'm on holiday. Just because some of the scenery happens to look quite nice. The fact that it might be minus 38 doesn't come into it. They just say, Dad, you're on holiday again. But thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your prayers, especially for my family. Please keep us in your prayers. My brother's still in hospital. He's been in hospital for the best part of almost 3 months, I guess, now. And there's no short-term sight of him getting home at the moment, as he's had his leg amputated and things haven't gone as smoothly as we would hope to, including a 2:30 in the morning trip to Cheltenham Hospital from Cirencester because they thought he got a clot on his lungs. So we've had an interesting time with him, and we continue to do so. But above all, he needs the Lord because he's not a believer, and his life's in a bit of a mess. So what are some of the places I've been to this year? I wish you could come with me because some of these places are so exciting. And yet the work that I'm involved with actually started a long time ago. This is a Bible study in the woods in Romania during the early 1970s, where the believers would have to meet together secretly away from the police. It's hard to believe that these days, isn't it? But some of you would have heard of Trevor Harris. Well, here's a very young Trevor Harris during the 1970s. And so that was great during the summertime. But during the wintertime, looks like Mr. Microsoft's playing me up again. There we go. They would do the same thing. So here they are in the woods again during the wintertime in Romania, trying to keep warm around a fire, away from police and other people who would want to do them harm. Since the fall of communism, obviously things are a lot easier. We can go in and out of these countries. It's a lot more straightforward. And we don't have to meet in the woods at wintertime, which I'm really grateful for, because I'm up to the northern part of Romania in I think 2 or 3 weeks' time, and it's going to be very, very cold there. Geography test. Anybody know which flag this might be?
Kazakhstan.
I thought Tim would get it, actually. I thought there's going to be one, and it will be Tim. It is Kazakhstan, and Kazakhstan is this huge country here. Now, the reason why I've got this circle here is because people who go to the Bible school where I teach all come from this area here. So we don't always announce it publicly, but you can see on the map some of the places in which they travel to, or travel from, if you like. Can we have the next slide, Donald? I think it's gone to sleep. There we go. Now, you can see when I put pictures like this on Facebook, my family just think I'm on holiday, but this is where the students took us one afternoon when we weren't teaching, just to get out the classroom a little bit. It took us a couple of hours to get up here. This is China, so we're right on the China border pass, and the next time I go, apparently they're going to take me up this glacier here and into China. I'm not too sure about that myself, because I'm not very good with heights. I found this pretty interesting. Kazakh State Police, after taking their photograph, I got into a lot of trouble, so apparently you don't take photographs of policemen when you're on holiday, or even when you're working, especially when they want to do a strip search and it's minus 38, and you say, no thanks. You just try and explain to them you're from England and you're complete numpty, and you don't know what you're doing. This is what minus 38 looks like. This is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He noticed there's nobody else out there, just because it was so cold. So mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday snow. So this is February this year that I was out there. This is one of the classrooms we were teaching in. You'll notice that some of the desks are empty. And just cups of tea left behind. And that's because some of the students didn't want their photographs taken because of fear of persecution. You'll notice there's a lady here. She's from one of the Stan countries. And all her biblical material is on her laptop, encrypted on a piece of software. What that means is when she comes across the border and they're looking for her Bible, they can't find it. And all her material's on here, secretly hidden, so they can't find that either. Anybody bring a Bible with you this morning? Yeah, a few of you did. Did you get stopped on the way? You didn't? Oh, that's all right then, isn't it? Well, these dear ladies are Sunday school teachers from all sorts of different places. I don't want their photograph taken at this stage because of fear of reprisals. But they're not afraid. Not afraid of absolutely anything at all. These were some pastors. And again, if you look at their faces, you'll see that many of them come from other places outside Kazakhstan. I tell you, we go to teach some of these students, and I tell you what, they teach us far more than what we go out to teach about how to survive in countries where they're facing persecution. Tim, what's this flag?
I'm going to step aside for this one.
No, come on. This is just for you. No, it's not Moldova. This is the country that's in a lot of trouble at the moment. Ukraine, it is the Ukraine. Ukraine is this huge country here. At the moment, Mr. Putin's got this bit. And what he would like is to come right across down here and take Moldova with it as well. So watch this space. It's still very, very uncertain there. The war has not ceased. There is no ceasefire. There are still things that are going on that are very, very difficult. My boss was in the Ukraine 2 weeks ago. He came back and said to us after meeting with the Baptist Union in the Ukraine, the Baptist Union say they need at least 700 more pastors. Not people, pastors, to fill the churches and lead the churches. I mean, can you get your head around that? 700 pastors minimum needed. So as a mission, we were asked to think about helping them in that kind of way. I was out there in April. The country was very, very tense. We went through one village, and the whole village disappeared, wondering where they were. And they said, well, they heard that there was a stranger in town. They didn't know who he was, and that was me. So I don't usually have that effect on places I go to. And people shut all the doors, shops closed and things like that. But they heard there was a stranger, and for all they know, he could have been working for Putin. So people were very, very nervous out there. I taught in the mission school out there, and I stayed with this man here, David Kadesa, who's a pastor. And he introduced me to this man who got saved 1 year ago, December last year. His name's John. John used to own a pub. When he got saved, he realized his pub was causing a lot of problems, so he sold his pub, dismantled it so nobody could put it back into action, and he's made himself a shop. I like the Ronnie Barker sketch, Four Candles. Anybody seen that one? This is just like that, because you've got your candles down there, you've got hair dryers, you've got pots and pans, you've got kids' toys, you've got a clock, you've got torches. It's just a real muddle. Anyway, John really loves the Lord, and if you go into his shop, he will stop you and he'll say, let me read you something from this special book. And he'll read a psalm or some other passage from Scripture. And before you go, he'll say, can I just pray that God will bless you today? Imagine what would happen in Tewkesbury if we did that. People would say it's politically incorrect. Well, it's politically incorrect to do it anywhere, actually, these days. And yet John is not afraid of anything. People know him in the town. His wife says, the change has been so radical in this man's life, I don't know who he is anymore, but I'm enjoying my new husband. So that's the power of the gospel to change lives. We also met this man. He's 93. He's called Alexei, and he lives in a shed, quite literally a shed. We were able to, as a mission, get some money out, so he's got plenty of firewood during the winter. And so we did a bit of a pastoral visit to Alexei. He's been saved since he was 21. His wife died 7 years ago, and he lives alone. When we approached his house, we could hear this noise of an old man singing. And I'm not very good at singing, but this guy's obviously almost completely deaf. And I thought, well, this will be interesting. But he's on his knees with his hands up by his bed, just worshipping the Lord all by himself. And that's what he was doing when we met him. And he said, when you go back to the United Kingdom, tell the churches in the United Kingdom I'll be praying for them because I hear that they're discouraged. So somebody in the Lord you've never met, but is praying for the United Kingdom, 93 years of age. And he says, I don't have much, but I have everything because I have God. So I go out to these places, and here's the Bible school in the Ukraine, and I learn so much from these places. This Bible school's been closed because of the war that's going on. In this classroom at the moment, there are three families that have escaped the east side of Ukraine and finding shelter there. This is a fantastic Bible school because they say, you are from England, and so you need to drink lots of tea because we hear you drink tea. So while I'm teaching, I get tea all the time. It's absolutely fantastic. Here's my teaching notes. And guess what? A big pile of cakes. Ukraine is a fantastic place to teach. But have a look closely, and you'll see the age range is quite something. You've got a young man here. You've got some elderly lady here, and there's an elderly widow here in her very late 70s. And if you ask her what you're doing in the Bible school, because there's an exam, there are assignments, there's all sorts of things, she'll say this. She said, I need to know more about my Bible because I'm not dead yet. And I thought, well, that is a good answer. I wish all mission school students would say that. I need to know about my Bible because I'm not dead yet. And she said, until I'm dead, I need to know how to pray for my pastor, and I need to know how to reach my village because the people there don't know God And this is a way that I can find out how to do that. So very, very exciting what we're seeing in the Ukraine. Do pray for the Ukraine. Despite what we see on the television, there are some extraordinary things going on there. And these are two students at the Bible school, and if you ask them, what do you do in the Ukraine, they'll just say, we just work in a little village. So I want to introduce you to their village. This is the village that they work in the Ukraine. This is where the children sleep at night so that the rats don't get them. Here's another picture of a house. I wonder how they're going to be spending Christmas. And this is extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, this is not too far away from us. It's not like darkest Peru, or if you're allowed to say darkest, whatever these days. But it's absolutely extraordinary. And yet, there was a church that was planted less than 10 years ago. And today, 2 hours ahead, they'll still be meeting for their four-hour service. And the place will be absolutely packed. These people had never heard of Christ a few years ago. And many of them have made commitments. These three brothers made commitments 2 years ago. They're from that Bible... they're from that mission, from that village. They're now in the Bible school. And these men, when they got saved, the village didn't know how to handle them anymore because they weren't drinking, they weren't smoking, they went out looking for work. They stopped beating up their wives. Their children were getting fed. The gospel had so changed their lives, nobody knew who they were anymore. And here they are in the Bible school now, trophies of grace, learning to lead the church one day. Within a few months of them getting saved, this man here lost his wife. Now, if you ask him, about that, he doesn't say anything. I didn't know till later on. He just says, God has been very good to me. And yet he's left with 11 children to look after. When people get baptized in the Ukraine, especially in this part of the Ukraine, the women have a nice little gazebo to get changed in, and the men, well, they have to go over here somewhere because this is how they get baptized. And again, if you look very closely at their faces, these are all from that village. You've got a young man here, you've got an elderly lady here. And apparently they'll even get baptized during the winter time when they have to break the ice off the river 2 hours before to get them into the water. And here they are getting baptized. This is the unseen face of the Ukraine. I tell you, God is doing some very exciting things across Eastern Europe and Central Asia, which is why I wish you could come with me, bring your suitcase and have a look at some of these things, because they are absolutely extraordinary. This is one of my favourite countries. I enjoy all of Eastern Europe. Moldova, yes, definitely Moldova. The food is fabulous. The students are great. It really is an amazing place. Moldova is this tiny little country here. It's about the size of Devon and Cornwall put together. This year, Moldova received some money from the EU to help repair some of its roads. Because of that, in September, when they were having their harvest time, Putin said, we're no longer buying your food produce. Because Russia buys a lot of produce from Moldova, like wheat and apples and all sorts of things. So in the north of Moldova, they couldn't sell their produce, and it was just lying on the floor. Tons and tons of apples and grain and all sorts of things. They're not part of the EU yet, so that mechanism for selling it into the EU doesn't exist. So Moldova's on the verge of economic bankruptcy, if you like, especially up in the north. It's a very, very poor country. Because it's so small, there aren't enough people to generate enough income to get themselves out of trouble. So it does need to join the EU. But Putin's got his eye on that. But we have to be careful what we say these days. Most people live in the cities, live in flats like these, which is almost like lorry containers. That's what they look like. All stacked up on top of each other. It's not very inspiring, really. Give me the next picture, Donald. It seems there we go. This is one of the buses in Moldova, and I took a picture of a bus this time. I was out there in September because apparently the buses have had a major refit this year. And I was looking, well, I wonder what part of the bus has had a major refit. And apparently it's got new curtains. And why it's got curtains, I don't know until you see the roads. And maybe you want to pull the curtains because you think, I really don't want to look out the window at where I'm going, all the traffic that's on the roads. So a very poor country. Here's some of the students in the Bible school here. It's got a 2-year waiting list to get into this Bible school. And again, look at the ages. You've got an elderly looking man here. You've got some younger people here. I'm obviously teaching. This lady's had enough. And she's like, oh, Lord, help me. And this student's eating an ice cream. So it's obviously a riveting lecture. Now, there is a story behind this student here. She's 23 years of age. Her name's Alina. And during the night time, she's a nurse from 8 o'clock at night till 5 o'clock in the morning. and then she'll go home, get changed, and she'll come to the Bible school, which starts at 8:30 and finishes at 5:30. And she'll be there all day, go home, get an hour's sleep, and then go back to being a nurse. And so she was falling asleep, not during my lectures, but in between breaks, and just completely flat out. And so one of the students went out and bought her an ice cream just to help her keep awake because it was so hot. I've never seen such dedication to the Word of God as I have in Moldova. These students are absolutely extraordinary, the lengths that they go to. At the end of the course, there's a two-hour exam, and it is a tough exam. It's the same as what you would get in the UK as an undergraduate in theology. And they work really, really hard. And in order to get on the next course or to continue at the school, they have to pass all the exams. This is one of the roads when you leave the city of where we were, where the Bible school is, and you see the road either goes this way or that way. Now, what you do is you look to where the people are walking, because here's some people walking over here, and you sort of think, well, if it's not too muddy for those people to walk, we might get through in the vehicle. So we have this long drive right up into the north of Moldova to a place called Triestini. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. You've got the Ukraine over here, so this was as far as we could go. And yet there are some very exciting things going on right up in the north of Moldova. This is an old house that is being renovated, and supporters of SGA have helped send some money over so they can buy some new windows and help with the rebuilding of it. And so I visited this place, a house that's being turned into a church, and they've got an amazing pastor who's there. This is the pastor. His name is Oleg. He was in the mission school a couple of years ago. Those of you who know SGA will know this chap, Bill Patterson, who's retiring in March. Before I started teaching in Moldova, he stood up to introduce me, which is always a dangerous thing. He said, "This is Wayne, and he takes 3 hours to wash his hair." And the students went, "Oh!" Yeah. Two and a half hours to find it, 15 minutes to wash it, and 15 minutes to put it back on again. So there we go. So I got my own back, and I said to the students when I introduced him, "You've heard of William Shakespeare. If you want to know what William Shakespeare was like, you can have a chat with Bill because he was with them at school." Anyway, this man Oleg, he could go anywhere in the world, and yet he's chosen to go in the north of Moldova and be a pastor there in this little village where there's absolutely nothing. There's no running water. People have to get water from a well. He's got a doctorate in veterinary science. So he could go anywhere in the world and teach. And yet he's chosen to go to this village as a missionary. This is why it's so exciting at the moment in Eastern Europe and Central Asia. They're not just growing in their churches, but they're sending out their own missionaries. We've got missionaries in Moldova that are going to Russia. We've got students in Romania that are going into Moldova as missionaries. So this man, Oleg, and here's his son, has decided to go to this village of Triestini and help plant a church there. This morning they would have had 8 adults there, and this church was only planted in September. More than 20 kids turn up on a Friday for a youth meeting, and what they've done is turn this old house into a church. This is typical transport in Triestini, and that's the car that we were driving around in, and this is a typical kind of road. So God is doing some exciting things in Moldova. Tim, what's his flag?
Romania.
Apache. Mulțumesc. There we go. That's as far as it will go with me. Romania is a huge country. It's split up into lots of different counties. At the moment, we've got, I think, 7 or 8 mission schools that we're supporting in Romania, from Arad right over to Suceava, which is over here somewhere. There's Suceava, which usually means we get on a train and we travel across for about 12 hours across the Carpathian Mountains, which is absolutely beautiful. I was out in Romania, I think it was about 3 weeks ago now, and I stayed with this man, Kalin Talos, who's a pastor. And again, this man could go anywhere in the world. He's just passed his second doctorate, so you can imagine he could go to America and teach if he wants to. But he's decided to stay in Romania, in the north of Romania, to help plant churches in the north of Romania. These are the Carpathian Mountains. And right up in the mountains, there's a mission school there. So this is the small Bible school. And obviously, eating and having some fun here. There's an interesting story behind these Coke bottles and the pizza and the sausages and things. All these students here are farmers during the day, and they've been out on the fields from 5 o'clock in the morning. They'll come back, they'll meet at the mission school at 7 at night, and they wouldn't have eaten during the day. And so what we did was make sure they had some food before we started the Bible school. And again, I don't see many people with such a hunger from the word. So all these men on the fields during the day, and pastors over the weekend, and missionaries in their own village during the week to help plant churches. And again, very, very exciting things going on. When we think of Romania, we think of poverty, but there are also some very, very wealthy people. I think there's about four or five gypsy kings in Romania. This is one of the gypsy kings. I actually went for tea at one of the gypsy king's house last time I was out there. Wasn't allowed to take a photograph of him. Had this absolutely humongous house. It looked like a travel lodge. It was absolutely huge. But this guy was a believer and got a real heart for his people to see God move and change them around. One of the problems within the gypsy communities is prevalence of witchcraft. And it's none of this Harry Potter kind of stuff. There are some really weird, dark stuff that goes on in parts of Romania with witches. And very often, if you live in a Romani village, a gypsy village in Romania, and you want to do something to somebody, you'll go and see a witch, and you'll speak to that witch, and you ask them to put a curse on that person, and you'll pay them a lot of money. And some very weird stuff happens. When this gypsy king got converted, somebody in the village went to the local witch and said, "We want you to put a curse on our king." She said, "There's no way I can do that. He's got a power far greater than I." So some very interesting things that go on. Thank you for praying for us. We've got a really busy academic year next year. I'm back out to Romania in, I think it's 2 weeks' time. So very, very busy time. Please continue to pray for us. A lot of work going on. And a huge responsibility to teach the next generation of church leaders and pastors and evangelists and Sunday school teachers. Please pray for us that we will know how to teach these people as we follow the curriculum that we've been set. Okay, I wonder if we can... Actually, we could probably leave the lights off because I'm going to read a passage of scripture now while Donald's sort of getting rid of that for me and putting the next PowerPoint on. I thought I'd just bring a few thoughts from a passage in Luke's Gospel.